May I give you a little piece of advice? Please, while you're here in your Japa retreat, try to apply new perspectives and also new tips or tools, you could say, to your Japa immediately. It's very important that whatever you hear and whatever appeals to you is put immediately into practice in your life. Because remember, one of the goals of the Japa retreat is to, let me say, break old chanting habits. Albert Einstein, if I can mention him in the Holy Dharma at all, without being shooed out of the hall. But Albert Einstein gave a definition of craziness. Hare Krishna. He said craziness is to think you will get new results by keeping on doing the same things again. So your Japa will not improve if you keep the same principles or the same life of inattentive chanting habits, if you have any, like most of us. But your Japa will only improve if you bring in new chanting habits. So it's my very humble request that you are here a little bit scientists in a laboratorium who receive a new advice, a new tip, a new rule, a new tool, and immediately bring this new thing to a full application. And then you will see the magic of the Japa retreat unfold in fullness. Only then, if you keep doing the same things in the Japa retreat and experience the full blessings of the Holy Name, you are mistaken. It will not work like this. You have to change something. It's a unique opportunity. So these things which come up on the table, it's not the table, the wall here, please do make note of them in your notebooks, but that's only 2% of the work. Please bring them into your life. Listen. Have you listened this morning to one mantra? Have you been determined? Have you brought your mind back when you saw it wandering to mental land? And have you also been detached, that is, not just overly disturbed when you saw this? This is very important. Okay. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
We will continue with our little contribution called The Keys to Unlocking the Secret of the Holy Name. Today, I would like to focus on something which you might have heard already in Burijan Prabhu's class yesterday, that is to avoid the stumbling blocks or the offenses in chanting the Holy Name. These offenses can be compared with serious obstacles which happen on the spiritual path, like avoiding to pay one's humble obeisances to one's spiritual master before one starts to speak. A mistake I have just now done, so I will correct it. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vrishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskachyade Satarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Garadhara Sri Vasadi Go Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. There's a verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's the verse 6.1.12, which appears in Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Bhagavat Arkamarichi Mala. It appears in a slightly different translation than the one Prabhupada gave, and I have chosen Bhaktivinoda Thakur's translation since it focuses on one particular Sanskrit term and brings the meaning out. He says that you may chant, but if you do not apply the rules for chanting, you might not get the nourishing benefit from the chanting. And the example is used of a diet which a diseased person takes. If he doesn't follow the prescriptions of how to apply this particular diet, the good medicine might have a bad effect on him. I would like to read the verse and then focus our attention of a possible bad effect which inattentive chanting or not properly applied chanting could have on us. Here's the translation first. Just as a disease is activated if proper food and medicine are not administered in a disciplined manner. So if you do not take the proper food and the medicine in a disciplined manner, then the disease is further activated. In just the same way, one will never obtain the result of chanting. If one does not chant the holy names under the proper rules and regulations, such as chanting a prescribed daily number of rounds. The process of chanting is that one should always chant the holy name without any offense or duplicity, while trying to progressively increase the number of rounds. Once again, the process of chanting is that one should chant the holy name with a full stomach and sufficient sleep. Oh, you were attentive. Your smile showed me that you have noted I have made an interpolation into this text. Once again, because you're not yet properly attentive, therefore, but most of you, one third passed the test, Prabhu, be attentive now. The process of chanting is that one should chant the holy name without any offense or duplicity while trying to progressively increase the number of rounds. Following the prescribed method for chanting, hearing, and remembering the Lord's names, forms, qualities, and pastimes yields the most auspicious results. So, let us again go to the text and hear again patiently what it tells us. It tells us that we must apply the chanting of the holy name with the rules and regulations, just like we must administer a medicine according to the prescribed rules of intake. Let me now say what could have such a disastrous effect as wrongly taken medicine in relationship to the holy name. For this, I will make a digression into the workings of the mind, which are called in Western terminology psychology. Anything, the mind can be disciplined by certain habits. Our thinking habits and our acting habits are riverbeds in which the mind flow or the thoughts go. Now, if we develop a habit of being inattentive during 2 hours of the day, this is the chanting time. This habit of inattention, which has been carefully groomed in 2 hours of the day, it's a habit to do something 2 hours of a day, will carry on into the rest of the day. To make it more clear is spaced out chanting makes a spaced out personality. Sometimes critics who have watched the Hare Krishna movement through the eye of psychology have noted that some of its members lack focus. It may come because they have a habit of inattention which has been carefully groomed during the hours of sadhana. Their inattentive chanting, in other words, has become a sadhana of inattentive, building up an inattentive personality, a non-focused, spaced-out human being who is not successful in his spiritual nor in his material undertakings. Now, this doesn't mean that we should stop chanting if we chant inattentive rounds. It means we should chant attentive rounds. I hope this is the conclusion. Don't take a wrong conclusion, please. It's absolutely necessary, as this little digression into the world of human psychology might have shown you, that you do chant according to the prescribed rules. The process of chanting is we should always chant the holy name without any offense or duplicity, trying to progressively increase the number of rounds. During our japa retreat, you will have the opportunity to progressively increase the number of rounds. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is making a point that this progressively increasing the number of rounds brings what he calls preliminary chanter to the stage of a continuous chanter. Do you wish to know what is a preliminary chanter? Preliminary means a beginning chanter. A beginning chanter is someone who occasionally chants, like 16 rounds would be an occasional chanting activity. A continuous chanter would be someone who's always connected in some ways to the holy name. And he says that the chanting progress should, to the continuous chanter, is done by practicing a little Sanskrit word which is called Nirbandha. Nirbandha appears in Burijan Prabhu's rendition as point two, determination. Nirbandha can usually means the determination to chant a certain number of rounds. Nirbandha also means that while you chant Jalko, your mind is still wandering, you should create a bandha, that means a lock, a connection, a bond between the name and the named. That is, you should be mindful of Lord Krishna and relationship to Krishna. Here is Bhaktivinoda Thakur directly in a quote. Nirbandha means that a practitioner should chant the 16 name, 32-syllable Mahamantra, on Tulasimala 108 times. Chanting 4 rounds is called one grantha. One should start with one grantha and then gradually increase the number to 16 granthas, or 64 rounds. 16 times 4 is 64. This is, that will make a prescribed number of 100,000 holy names. By gradually increasing the number of holy names to 300,000, one will spend his entire life simply chanting. Wonderful. This is mathematic in relationship to the name. All previous acharyas have attained perfection by following this order of the Lord. This was a direct quote from Harinam Chintamani, chapter 12. So it seems a gradually increment, is that an English word? A gradually increase of chanting. This is how you travel from the land of the occasional chanter or the preliminary chanter to the continuous chanter. You do this by a contract with yourself, which we could call a nirbandha. You chant in increment. Today, we will start to increase the number of rounds significantly. We will go to Vilasgarh, where the winds of mercy will come into our sails and push our boat over the samsara ocean, the winds of Kripa, Radharani's mercy. Huh? We will make in our opening of that experience, Burijan Prabhu and myself will make one note or one comment where you will need to be absolutely attentive. Both of us are sometimes a little subtle. We give tools which only the attentive mind will capture. So I want to hint to you tomorrow at no, today at around 10:30 when we arrive there, have your attention there. It could change your life what you will hear tomorrow, not today morning. For now, let us just carefully note that chanting is a science which must be applied. It's a powerful, powerful tool. But just like a powerful tool like, for instance, a knife which can cut vegetables, must be applied with proper care and attention. The chanting must be applied by avoiding the stumbling blocks, by chanting with a nirbandha, that means a prescribed number, by chanting attentively. Sheila, would you like to know what an expert chanter is? According to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, an expert chanter is a chanter who avoids the offenses. I was surprised when I heard this. I thought an expert chanter is most probably someone who pronounces very carefully the holy name, or he, I thought something new, an expert chanter, yeah, maybe he's just being very focused and remembers something while he chants. But an expert chanter is someone who avoids the 10 offenses, because the moment these stumbling blocks are removed, you stop to stumble in your chanting and fall, and so on. Now, much has been said about the 10 offenses, but I must retract. Why are aparadas so necessary to avoid? The word aparad, I learned this new, or offenses, comes from the Sanskrit root rat, and rat means pleasure. When you perform an aparad, you stop giving pleasure to Krishna. And if you don't give pleasure to Krishna in your chanting process, the result is that Krishna will not be inclined to give you his full mercy. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes in Madhurya Kadambini what happens to a person who does not avoid the aparads. He says, the holy name is just like a powerful master who may withhold his mercy from a neglectful servant. You know, the holy name, powerful master, and there is a offensive servant in his house. The master will not give him the same favors any longer. The master will not give him the exact guidance which he needs to give him. The master will just give him a minimum maintenance. He will allow him that he takes still a bowl of rice, but he will not give him chutneys and sweets. He will not invite him when he makes a morning walk to follow him. He will give these very pleasant chores to carry maybe the chatter of the master while enjoying a fresh morning breeze in the morning walk. He will give this to another trusted servant. So a devotee who does aparad, he mispleases or displeases, I think is the word, the holy master, Lord Krishna, and then only minimum maintenance will be there. Yes, you will still get prasadam, and yes, sometimes you will also say Hari Bol, and yes, you will also follow the process of trying to serve, but mostly it's your ego who guides you through your daily life drudgery and so on. You must begin to avoid the offenses and give pleasure. And now, I personally believe, this is now something very personal, but I like to bring it into my personal address to you this morning, that the ten, to avoid the ten offenses, is best done by applying the positive instruction. I've written down here, each of these offenses is stated in the negatives. They are do-nots. But each, therefore, indirectly points to a positive injunction. The prohibition presented as the ten apparats can thus be seen as instructions for us to develop specific saintly qualities and to do certain things. What follows is a list of the positive injunctions related to the ten offenses as they are presented in Harinam Chintamani. This comes in chapter 13, text 38 to 41. First of all, we must address the king of all offenses, the mad elephant of all offenses. When you travel from Haridwar, from Rishikesh to Haridwar, there's a road on the opposite side of the Ganga, which is often blocked because there are elephants, and in a rut, in the crazy rut of sexual frenzy, they are there. And if you come in their way, they step you over you and crush you. So you cannot go there. You must avoid this road. Rishikesh to Haridwar, every Himalaya traveler knows, ugh, well, the mad elephants are there. Your jeep is crushed and your mala is crushed and your bones are crushed. Though the first offense is Vaishnava apparat, but the positive instruction is diligently give up all blasphemy of Vaishnava sadhus by praising them. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, offense against Vaishnava is like drinking a cup of poison and then dying. Now the same mouth which has drunk the pot of poison should drink the pot of nectar. And get nourished. What this means in practical terms is that the same mouth which has blasphemed Vaishnavas should praise Vaishnavas. You're such a nice person, Ratnabhusha. I acknowledge it must be difficult in Sweden to be a brahmachari and preach where most of our preachers are now in the not capable because they're in jobs to preach, but you are somehow doing it and you're racking your brains how to reach the cold Scandinavian mentality with novel things and praise the Vaishnava. Oh Bhagavati, it must be difficult for you to combine your inner life with your position in a movement, but you're trying so well. Praise, sincerely praise a devotee. This is good. And the moment you drink this amrita, the nectar, the dangerous poison of Vaishnava apparat, which may still be within you after all, you might have drunken it, will be counteracted and some strength is given to your spiritual life. Second, adopt the pure understanding that Vishnu is the only truth. God is truth. Then, accept your guru who promotes the holy name with utmost sincerity. Then, accept the scriptures that glorify the holy name as the supreme scriptures over all other scriptures. Then, fifth, believe in your heart that the holy name is completely pure and spiritual. By the way, to relieve you from the stress of trying to write this down, you will get this on your CD, which you can print out. What are the positive mindsets which counteract the offenses? Have faith that the holy name is identical with the Lord. Instead of giving some interpretation on the holy name. Then instead of just committing sins on the strength of chanting, attentively discard all the motivations that have led you to sin. Because it is motivation, not action, that is the seed of sin. Develop the right motivations. Preach the glories of the pure holy names only to those who possess faith in the names. And in this way, there are 10 positive injunctions which are which have to be discarded, have to be done. Now I would like to give you also a tip which seems to save my life these days, which I have gleaned from Vaishnav scripture. Gopi Bhato Das Sadas Anudasa. It is said the psychology of aparat comes from a concept of the ego, I and mine. You commit aparats or offenses against Vaishnavas, the guru, scriptures, and the name because you live on the platform of ego. The ego is a mountain between you and Krishna, which has two types of granites. One is aham, the other mameti. I and my rights, or my perspectives. Aham mameti. So when you come in a situation where you feel your ego is a little tickled, and it starts and moving its ugly head, there is a mantra which you can say. If you like Sanskrit, you can say aham das or dasi. Or das hos mi. Das hos mi. The word is actually das hos mi. Thank you, Madhavendra Puri. And I also want to greet you affectionately. Madhavendra Puri is a very important editor in one of the books, the Gayatri books. Hopefully in all others as well. Das hos mi, you have edited this very well. I am a servant. Just learn this one thing. When your ego gets done. If you are a little dull like me, I say it in English, I'm only a servant. When I come in a situation where where I want to be very forthgoing, where I would like to take over a situation. When I come in the festival and I just like to just take over the microphone and chant for 6 hours and dance, and it's only a covered ego that then I just say, I'm only a servant of this festival. If we do this now for 6 hours, everyone will be tired and sleep during the morning program. Or when something gets totally on one's nerves, like there's no one else who can get as intensely on one's nerves as disciples and God brothers, when you have an ego, then you say just I'm only a servant. And this works wonders against the offenses. Offenses, or if you are in a marriage relationship, I don't have this experience in this life, but I can imagine that also in a marriage relationship, there are tough moments where the beloved partner becomes the dreaded monster. I can well imagine. I have heard so from Grihasthas. Say this mantra, and you just want to really give it to someone. You want to use a sentence which has 10 million knives in it to hurt the other person. Then you say, Dasos me, I'm only the servant. I'm only the servant. I'm only the servant. Das, das, anu, das. 1,000 times the servant removed. This brings you away from your ego and to your spiritual identity. Please do not forget this. It's in the Shastras. It's one of the very, very, very essential verses which Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has applied in his life. We will put this on the list, this verse. The last line has always been quoted, Gopi Bhato. I thought you said the time. What is the time? By the way, since I'm now getting into the preaching mood, I finally found something I'm very enthusiastic about, because to reduce the egos, my dear devotees, this is the whole essence. Trinadapi, that shloka which is described to be our siddha pranali, what brings us to perfection as the devotees. Trinadapi, to be humble, is that is the verse which brings you to the stage of the continuous chanter, the person who is always in Krishna's presence. But this Trinadapi has the injunction, you should be lower than the grass in the street. And you know, all of these wonderful instructions, which you will hear later in our presentation. What is this all about? It's all about bringing you to the stage where you travel away from your wrong identity, the ego, and travel towards the kingdom of love, where you are understanding, I'm a servant. In the land which we want to go to, Vrindavan Dham, everyone is serving. Yamuna, the gopis, the servants, Nanda Maharaj, the trees of Vrindavan is serving. Everyone is a servant. You cannot go there. You cannot go to the plane of bona fide Vrindavan consciousness or Krishna consciousness without moving away from the ego. It's just only a dream of spiritual life, an imagination, something which is built on the shifting sense of the ego, your imagination to be a great rasika, a great devotee. This is all in the shifting sense of the ego, when it will go, when the temptations of Maya come to be a little bit more down, your structures will break when they are built on the ground of the ego. So this is this repeating, I am a servant. If you like Sanskrit, say it in Sanskrit, das hosmi. But maybe you make a fashion out of it. I know so much Sanskrit, I say something which Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said. For me, it is I'm only a servant. Peng. And I begin to like it. The first month when I said it, I said, again you say it. The ego was not satisfied. But now I begin to like it. It's so nice to be a servant. One is free from worries and anxieties when one is a servant. And one opens the heart when one is a servant and love enters the heart. So, okay, how did we get to this point? We got to this point by because we wanted to say to avoid the stumbling blocks means basically to adopt a positive mindset in which you can chant the holy names. I suggest, because I see that Bhujan Prabhu is my example of the ideal, or let us say, of a very good teacher. We can bring this up, the positive mindsets, and we could cultivate them during the retreat. Do you think this is a worthwhile project? Then we will do this. We will put it on a sheet of paper. Our secretary has taken note of this. Maybe you can arrange it. Then we will put it on and everyone can try to make an experiment to praise Vaishnavas, for instance. Or to, you know, do these positive mindsets. Let's practice them. Let's gently but intelligently pull the ego from its throne and place a service attitude on the throne of our heart. Let's do that. And then you are humble and can chant. The mercy comes. Another very successful way to stop Nam Aparat and become an expert chanter is something which will sound surprising to you. It's something which totally woke me up when I was stumbling about these verses. I read these verses in Prabhupada's books for 5 years or 6 years, and I didn't take note of them. Later, I read this verse again, and I thought, it can't be. It must be one of the editor's mistakes, and so on. Finally, there was no way to ignore this verse any longer. If you want to stop the stumbling or the apparatus of chanting you against the holy name, you must chant more. Only thing. Would you like to hear this verse? Nama parada yuktanam namanyeva rantyagam avishranti prayuktani tanyeva takarani cha. Only incessant chanting of Hari Nam can affect the purification of one who is infected with Nam Aparat. Indeed, the tireless chanting of Hari Nam is the only way to achieve the goal of human life, love of Krishna. This comes from the Padma Purana, Svaga Kanda 48-49, and will be added to the list of inspiring verse. No need. You will have this on the CD also, which you get on the text CD. Prabhus, it says only incessant chanting of Hari Nam can affect the purification of one who is infected with Nam Aparat. Yesterday, Bhurijan Prabhu, in his excellent presentation, told us, we are so unfortunate. He said this to us, no? We have take a note of this. We are so unfortunate, we don't have love. When we chant, our mind goes vroom. What else will happen when you chant is that your ego will say, no, don't continue to chant. Yesterday, one devotee came to me and said, my ego told me when I was chanting, don't chant any longer. He said, very good. You have made some progress that at least you see your ego now as something distant, different. Most of us don't see the ego. For us, the ego is like sugar dissolved in water. You don't find any trace any longer. No, I can't see it. It's me. Krishna. Ravindra Swarup Prabhu, who is a wonderful devotee and a wonderful lover of the holy name, you maybe one day when he is in Vrindavan, we can just get him for a lecture. He's very nice and very intellectual PhD devotee also. And he gives lectures in which he reflects his experience during his personal japa retreat, which he made one of these years, where he chanted during the month of Kartik every month of every day a prescribed number of 64 rounds. And he said at one stage the ego just came. I don't like this. And a little later, a profound sense of grief, this is his words, a profound sense of grief overcame him. That, oh no, what type of devotee am I? But I don't like chanting. What to do when the ugly ego raises its head and says, don't chant? Chant more! You're getting at the proper work. When the ugly ego stops you from chanting, chant more. Visha, visha, yosh, more, mere. Then only you will go deeper into your chanting. It's really said in the words of the Padma Purana, this is the way. Therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur has early, in the quote we mentioned earlier, said one must chant with nirbandha. Nirbandha is in one translation term determination, in another translation chanting while thinking of Krishna, in another translation nirbandha means to chant the rounds and then increase them by grantas. Grantas means four, sets of four rounds. That somehow this works good. I don't know why it's a granta, but maybe it's because the number Mahaprabhu gave was 64 rounds, and then to get to 64 rounds, then you divide 64 rounds and you have somehow four. What is 64 divided by four, please? Can you... 16. Acha! Hoo-hoo! This sounds familiar. There is, in this numerology of chanting, there is some logic, believe me. There's a deep logic there. So, the number four, it will bring you in, I call it frog jumps. It will get... It will bring you forward. This is very good. This is the way how to work on your heart. This is the prescribed way in Shastra. Feel the grief. Don't run away when you are in grief. It's good to feel that we are fallen, that we are removed from Krishna. Welcome to reality. Don't run away from reality. It's good to feel a little grief. The tears of grief will wash away the mountain of pride. The tears where you sincerely regret, My Lord, I left you. My Lord, see me. I'm covered with offenses. Not only offenses. My first covering is avidya, ignorance. My second covering is anartha. I hold on to what is not valuable as if it would be valuable. And my third covering, my Lord, my third covering is aparad. The moment you feel that, you feel grief. I am an avidya. I am ignorance. I am covered by anatta. Unhappy habits. I'm covered by aparad. Oh, then good bhakti can come in your heart. Then good bhakti can come in your heart. Kalpana will go, the imaginations, and good bhakti will. Have you ever read the scriptures of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Narottamdas Thakur? I'm fallen. The saintly don't like me because I'm so fallen. I always like when others suffer. Oh, Gopinath, I'm a lusty sinner. You know, I once gave this to a poet. I said, we also have our poesy. I thought this poet was eligible to read this because he liked Søren Kierkegaard, the Danish hermit. I've read a lot of him when I was before Krishna consciousness. So I thought, well, if he likes Søren Kierkegaard, he will like what I liked. Then he will like Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Narottam. Now, Søren Kierkegaard has written, human existence is a house which most of us inhabit, where most of us inhabit only the cellar. If you move to the plane of the soul in devotion, you move into the house of your human life. It's a good statement. Most of us live in the cellar, he said. We don't use our house. Imagine you have a nice house and you are in the cellar. That is what it means to live on the bodily platform. You don't live your life. You don't use your fortunes. So the poet, I sent him a whole Sharanagati Gita Mala, everything. Here, what do you think? And he said, I can't read it. It's too self-disparaging. It's a poet from New York. I sent it to. So, is it an English? I'm not so good. Self-disparaging. Is that an English word? It means to denigrate yourself, to bring yourself down. Huh? Self-disparaging. So. Then he got a letter about the ego, which he will never forget, this poet. Because I felt personally hurt, he did not like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, so I said, this is a letter which comes from the heart. It is a letter you have just done something, you have not seen the point. Now read this letter and decide if you want to continue our relationship after this letter. It was an atom bomb letter. And it was well received. He chants now 16 rounds. Sometimes we need an atom bomb in our lives. So yes. Bhaktivinoda Thakur tells us what tireless chanting means in our practice. You know, we have now learned one should chant incessantly, and some of us get a little horrified. Incessantly, okay, incessantly. What is the English word incessantly implying? It means without stoppage. Now, okay, this means no eating, no sleeping, no talking, just Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Listen from the Harinam Chintamani. Tireless chanting or incessant chanting means that other than the time needed for eating and sleeping or other activities related to bodily maintenance, like you may have to work, find yourself in a dharmic work, one should chant with feeling. Here he uses the word kakuti, which literally means intense contrition. Contrition means feeling sorry for your fallen state. So tireless chanting means that other than the time needed for eating and sleeping or other activities related to bodily maintenance, one should chant with feeling. That is a feeling of oh Krishna, I'm your servant, I'm your fallen servant. Such chanting will lead to the destruction of the 10 offenses. No other auspicious activity or penance is effective in this regard. I'm making this point so strongly because today we will increase our rounds. Some of us today will go into war with their egos. You will make it because no ego will be able to maintain its position in Vilasgar. So chant with contrition. Feel sorry. And don't identify with the ego. It's not even you. It's a material element. Like maybe it's on you. Maybe like this suitcase is now on my head. It doesn't belong on my head. It's not necessary to have it on the head, especially not during a serious lecture. Why should I identify with the ego? Don't do the ego the favor to identify with it. So now I feel somehow we have reached a good dosis of information. This class lasts again. Who is the time? No, quarter to eight, to nine. Is this effect?
Yes. No.
Yeah. Thank you very much. So we have now the opportunity to ask a few questions. Please raise your hands if you have a question. I saw your head first. Pancharatna's daughters, maybe Siddheshwari. Tell me again your good name.
Mahaprakash
Prabhu, Bayahari Prabhu, and our Vikram. Vitalnada Hari Narayana, Hari Narayana. Yes, so, and Dayanita. Yes, so who was here? Madhaji, please speak. What does chanting without duplicity mean? Duplicity, the word duplicity, all of you non-English speakers like me, I got myself an Oxford dictionary. I finally decided, let me learn English after 30 years. I have not looked up duplicity, but what I understand duplicity to mean is a double face. One thing is there, and you pretend to be something else. To chant without duplicity, as you pose your question, I'm desperately going through my files. internal files. Yes, duplicity, I found something, is also called kalpana, imagination. Kapatya.
Kalpana is imagination.
Yeah. Yeah, but what is duplicity? Kapatya. Duplicity. Kapatya. Cheating. Cheating. The cheating mentality means you have something inside, but you act in a different way. In relationship to chanting, it means, in my opinion, to chant in a humble state of mind where you remove yourself from the false roles which you are playing due to your ego. It has very much to do, in other words, with the subject, with what I explained. So therefore, I will not talk more. It's duplicity in relationship to chanting is that. Raghunath Das Goswami says in Manak Shiksha, Instructions to the Mind, a very, very useful scripture to read for serious chanters, that why do I constantly bathe in the burning donkey urine of duplicity? Imagine someone takes a bath under a donkey. It burns. And this means really that false ego, crooked intelligence, pretending to be someone we are not, duplicity. What's the next? What is your good name?
Neela Madhava.
Oh, Neela Madhava. Yes. Neela Madhava, who speaks just like Pancharatna, same voice and timbre of the voice. Asked, when you are in a position where others serve you, how do you keep in mind that you are their servant, especially since they won't allow you to serve them? You can imagine that those who are older devotees have thought about this a lot. There are different ways you can secretly serve them when they don't notice it. You can also serve them in what your position demands of you. Guidance, for instance. Instructing them. You can serve them in this way. By sincerely thinking, what do they need to now from me? In other words, by thinking of their benefit and not your benefit. When you are in a position of where you are in a superior position, others serve you, and that is very dangerous. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Nadanam najanam nasundaram, I don't want wealth, I don't want followers, when he says, Na janam, and I don't want followers, Bhaktivinoda Thakur tells us this means particularly followers who give you comfort, whom you keep for comfort. Please do this now, please do that now, please bring me this now, please bring me that now, please give me this present, please give me that present. You know, when you're a guru, you really must be careful of this, because there are people who are just burning to do something for you. Or when you're an older devotee, you most probably are also in such a position because you have such a glorious birth that you will be respected, and you are such a good devotee, and all of this, and so on. And you can misuse that very easily for your comfort, and then that is the source. Your followers are the source of your downfall, or your admirers, or your appreciators, and so on. You must think, what is in their benefit? What is for them? What is for them the best type of activity? And then you must start giving them service in your position. See, the leaders, Nila Madhava, that is our understanding in our movement, are the greatest servants. I know, for instance, of my godbrothers. Woof, so much servant, like Radhanath Maharaj. So much serving. Woo, even his own body goes into states of disrepair in his illness and diseases. So much service. Woo. Srila Prabhupada. Can you imagine traveling, writing all this, and worrying about his beginners, his disciples, beginners? So much service. Have I answered your question? Good. I do not know who was on the list. So who? Siddheshwari. Yes. Yes, Siddheshwari. Thank you so much for the question. I do not know how well I will do in answering this question. Let us repeat the question for the posterity. Can you please give us some criteria how to distinguish an imagined lila which may appear in our mind and heart during chanting from a real revelation? Krishna, Krishna. It's not that I'm thinking how I'm thinking how to order my thoughts at the moment. There are so many thoughts to this, but please allow me to answer it like there are two types of meditation which are described in Bhajan Rahasya, and which and one of them Prabhupada has trained us in. It's Mantrupasana and Svarasika meditation. Mantrupasana meditation means you have a particular verse which describes a certain scene. The one which Prabhupada gave us to chant every morning. It's not unimportant. It's important if something is done repeatedly. Venum kvanantam aravindadala yataksham bahavitam samasitam buddhasundarangam kandarpakoti kamaniya visheshashobam govindamari purushang tamang majami. We sing this every morning. This verse brings before us a picture of meditation, of the flute playing Krishna, who is bedecked with a peacock feather, who has a beauty more attractive than millions of goddesses of love. That's the Apakat Madana Mohanam Krishna of Vrindavan. You know? So by meditating about this verse sufficiently, if you chant with a present mind and not with an absent mind, this verse, you will think about the meaning of the verse, and some picture will come by means of the psychological faculty called association. You will put to the words an association of flute playing Krishna. Acha. And you might think of such a Krishna. See here Krishna with his flute. He has a peacock feather decoration, ornamentation on his head. So this is called mantra upasana. But you stay with this. So if you have, during the chanting, if you remember something which you have heard from the Shastras, some good verse, some good picture comes in your heart, then you should treasure this as a gift of Lord Krishna. The other meditation, it's called Svarasika meditation, where one pastime after the other comes to you, which is like a river which has come out beyond the dike of the mantra. It has broken the dike of the mantra and now flows freely. That will most probably come on a... that only comes on a little higher state of bhakti. You can enforce it by going with your mind there, and so on. But that's not yet a revelation. That is still mantrapasana. You have heard something and you remember that. So now I wanted to first give a theoretical background for the answer of my question. I will now directly say, when you have something where you have a bona fide remembrance, which you have seen, which you have heard from the scripture earlier, then you should humbly acknowledge it and say, this is happening not because I'm such a great devotee, it's an undeserved jewel which was thrown in my direction. I'm not psychologically trained like Brajalila Mataji, who's amongst us. I personally think it happens by association. Your mind associates. It happens simply like this. You chant and you think, and while you chant, you have these light moments where you think, Krishna, as Smita Krishna Maharaj would say, Krishna. Have you ever seen Smita Krishna Maharaj when his eyes go bright? Krishna. And what this means, this type of Krishna means Krishna. He thinks of Krishna. And so on. And then you think, obviously, of something you have heard and so on. But sometimes, Siddheshwari, sometimes it happens also to a neophyte that all of a sudden, as he chants, something appears in his heart which is coming from above. Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes this, and he feels a sweetness in his heart while chanting that may bring tears in his heart. Even a neophyte can this happens because it's the feeling of rasa. See, you can't think really of Krishna without rasa. That rasa is a pre-taste which is given to you. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes it like this. Sometimes during meditation, during prayers, during worship, even the new devotee will feel a flash, he describes it as a flash, of realization. And at that time, he will think, what was that? If I compare the universe of my experience with the experience which I just made, I can't find any similarity. It's so extraordinary. And he says, this happens just like a match. When a match comes close to a fire, it can catch fire. So when worship and meditation brings you towards Krishna, then sometimes it happens, but it happens only for a short time. Because you don't have the eligibility. That's the English word, to maintain that, unfortunately. But treasure these moments. Be humble and think mostly it's association. But if there's something which is imbued with a sense of sweetness and which stirs your heart and is not just some something nice, but which... then it's... the match has caught fire for a short time by Krishna's mercy. Hare Krishna. Good, let us end here and immediately keep the time and take prasadam. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Hari Naam Prabhu ki, Go Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.